RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. Final hour already. It's 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi now. Let's check in with old Captain Cliff Webb this morning. Cliffy, what's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy? I'm good, man. I'm just
counting down
to Christmas Day. I get to see the grandkids.
that's good stuff.
I know,
man.
You get to see it when they got presents. You know they're coming over.
No, they're coming. Yeah. You ride a little change out there. They're coming.
Yes, that's it, man. I got to see them the other day, but they got a schedule now, so they get off. They're off school now, so I get to see them this week. But it's been a busy week. The fishing's just really been good, Mickey. We started out Monday was kind of a high pressure day. It was really weird. We found some fish deep, and they were all over the graph. Just incredible electronics fish. I know they weren't all drum and reds. There were some big trout. We caught a few in there, but they were just locked up. They were laying right on the bottom, and pressure was almost 31. And I talked to the guys in Houston. It was over 31 on Monday. But it was hot, and we ended up down in Baffin, and I was sitting there, and we were all waiting this one area. It's funny. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm looking. There's Chad on one side. There's Joey Fair. There's Chad, David Rouse. So we're all in the same spot on this high pressure.
Boy,
it's a high pressure.
That's
spot.
A pile of talent right there.
It was funny, but I look around. I go, well, if there's any fish in this flat right here, I'm going to find out real quick, you know. And we make a march across this flat, and we catch a few fish, but it's a high pressure bite. You know, I look over and somebody have a nice 4-pounder or 2-pounder, just not really, just didn't get it on really good. Just, you know, you could just tell. Mm-hmm. So I had some really cool people with me. Monday and Tuesday, I had one young man. I had Austin, Mike, and JP. Well, JP works for Anglers Anonymous there in Houston. And I think he's been there since he was like 16 years old. He's 22 years old, and man, is he a stick in the water, Mickey. God, he's good, man. I really enjoyed fishing with those guys, but I was so impressed with that young man's talent. You know, he builds his own lures, plastics, and stuff. But,
right. Eat, man, sleep, breathe, and
yeah, he was really a good stick in the water, and he caught a lot of fish with me. And we ended up finding some fish that afternoon on Monday afternoon. We finally found some fish up on an island, a sunken island, and it was getting dark on us, getting late on us, and some of the guys were cold, ready to go. And JP stuck a 40-inch red up on the slat, you know, big old bull red, and a couple of good trout. And I could tell the way these 6-inch mullet were flipping in there. This is some of the best bait I've seen all day. That these fish are, if they're not, they're there. Their pressure's on them right now, but they're going to eat.
Right.
And so my plan was to get there first thing the next morning on Tuesday morning and jump out on these fish. And I pull in there and I got a west wind dumping grass right up on that island. I go, what? You know, I mean, there's fish in there, there's bait in there, but it's just sheets and sheets of grass. Can't even throw a soft plastic.
Oh man, that's miserable.
So anyway, I go to Plan B, and Plan B was pretty good. We caught some fish, you know. Then, anyway, make a long story short, I ended up back on this island, and that was when we really caught the fish. And I put JP out really shallow. He's in less than knee-deep water up on top of the spoil. And other two guys are kind of working the edge. Mike and Austin are kind of working the edge with soft plastics and soft dines and some twitch baits and stuff like that. And they're catching some fish. But I look up there, and JP is just bowed up again, you know. And he had another big red. He broke off. He said it was over 40 inches. He got mad at him from the top. But he got the shallower he got, the bigger the trout got. And then I look over, and I saw when he set the hook, he laid that rod to the side. And then I saw the big boil in the water. I said, that's the one. You know, that's the one he's been looking for, you know. It's a big trout, and I see him doing the circle thing, you know, I go, that's really good. He's keeping his rod tip low. He knows what he's doing, you know, and he lands this fish, just a little over 6 pounds, you know, really nice trout. And it made up because early in the day, he lost a really big fish. He was just kind of sulking because he lost a big one a couple of hours early, you know, so I was hoping he'd stick one. You know, it's kind of like when someone misses a big one, you hope that they do catch one that day to kind of get that taste out of their mouth, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But, it was good and caught most everything that day on soft plastics. It's funny how the topwater bite wasn't doing it. It's just, I can't understand. The water was, you know, 54 to 58 those 2 days, and we should have had a good topwater bite. And there's so much grass, we couldn't really throw a corky. But, man, they wanted that soft plastic.
Well, got to feed them what they want, man.
I know. It's funny how they all year long, they just eating that soft plastic. God almighty, just. I'm bread and butter. You know, I just get tired of fishing, but it's a producer.
Well, you have to. I mean, it's...
Yes, you have to, you know.
We'd all love for them to eat topwaters or, you know, mm-hmm. fat boys or
right.
whatever, but it just doesn't work out that way. You got to give them
you
what
know,
they want.
You know, I think
want.
A lot of... Yeah.
And
what,
you know, I think a lot of down it, where you're at, that grass makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, it does. It cuts you out of a lot
anything,
of bite.
You have to go to a soft plastic to keep all yeah. the grass mm-hmm. off your lure.
Yeah, and I was amazed that, you know, JP used a little belly weight in his hook, a little keel weight. Most people don't know about that. They're really not clean
yeah,
into it.
I call those worm weights. That's a great way to fish.
Let me tell you what, this guy's smart. So I kind of quizzed me about it. I got through. I said, hey, man, why are you using this? He tells me the technique. And I said, yeah, you got it. The way it comes off the grab, like a fishing paddle, the way it comes off and it suspends in the water, doesn't go straight to the bottom. He knew all that. I said, man, this guy's... He's waiting for 22.
Well,
he's just
it doesn't
really
grass
smart,
up
man.
Either, you know.
Doesn't grass up,
weedless.
You know. Yeah, and so it's really working good for him, you know. But it takes a little finesse to fish it. You can't drag it. You got to flip it, you know, high rod tip, flip it over the top, and let it do the circles and flips around. You
sure.
can't just, you know, drag it on the bottom. And I see a lot of my guys, you know, that they'll rig a like a Little John that way, which a Little John doesn't have a lot of tail action. You can't drag it like that in the bottom. You really got to flip it. So I don't rig a Little John like that. I rig it with a lead head. I want something that's got a tail on it when I belly weight it, you know. But
yeah, the rat tails work the best with that worm weight.
Yes, sir. They
just,
do. They do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hard to beat.
And then we got all that
support,
heavy grass.
You know, it kind of works the same way, you know.
Yes, sir. I love that trout support. In fact, I'd fish with the guys that fish with Tobin a lot, and I like Clayton Thomas. He puts a belly weight in all the hooks in the trout support. He likes that.
Right.
You know, I fish it really slow up on top. I love that boil they make when it's. I just got a hook in it, and I'm just kind of flipping it up on top. I just love that strike. You know, it's just all you have is a hook, and you normally don't lose them if you get them hooked.
No, you don't.
But it was just been an absolutely crazy week. The cold one day and warm the next. God Almighty. It's nuts, man. It's hard to believe this weather.
Yeah, I like it all, but for hunting, you know.
Yeah, but, yeah. I hunted a little this week, too, and I had one cold night.
This year.
It is. And we still got a ton of shrimp in our system. You know, I leave the dock, and it's just solid birds everywhere, and I'm driving by tons and tons of fish. You know, but they're not the fish we're looking for. The fish we're looking for are on shad and mullet, so that's why I'm passing all these fish up. It's going, man, what am I thinking? You know, just running by all these thousands of fish.
Yeah, but you're fishing for big ones.
Yes, sir, we are. We're trying to get some really big trout.
You got somebody that wants big fish. You can't be mm-hmm. wasting your time on all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been good. And then I hunted a little bit. I went up one night and spent the night at the lease, and it's just beautiful morning, but the deer did not move much. It's so weird. It was cold. It was 45 degrees that morning. I thought, man, yesterday we're going to see some good bucks.
Right.
I saw one good 10, but he's maybe 3.5 years old. He's probably 20 inches wide, but he's a giant deer.
Cool.
And he's just, I mean, he's young deer. He's got short tines. Just, man, I don't know if he'll make it, but we're going to try to let him walk and see
he'll
if he'll make it.
If nobody will pop him.
Yeah, if
let
it doesn't
that
jump
deer
the fence.
Get about 6 or 7 years old, see what happens.
I know it, buddy. And you're getting ready to go down to Blaine's. I was listening to you and Plog. You're getting ready to go down there. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm working on it right now, gathering gear. One thing about it, I don't think I'm going to have to pack any warm clothes.
I think you better bring a T-shirt.
Yeah, it's going to be T-shirts and thin pants.
No, I remember when all the guys, and I worked at the Sarita Safari, the Kennedy Ranch, all those people come from up north, all this wool stuff and all this insulated coveralls. And I said, you better bring some t-shirts.
Yeah.
It's going to be warm. I've seen
a
lot of Christmases warm.
Yeah. Let them re-wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. Did Blaine kill anything big?
He's had some nice deer killed so far. You know, good quality deer, but no monsters yet. It's still early.
Yeah, Barry's going to send me a picture of they got a double drop tine on the video.
Ooh.
He's got a video of it. I hope to see it. I can't wait to see that deer. He's been killing some monsters.
Double drop.
Down in Laredo. Yeah,
Blaine's got a blind on one of his ranches called Double Drop.
No, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. We killed
like
one on the Kennedy.
All his blinds, the way they name them. Got the Chronicle Blind, Hilltop, mm-hmm. Double Drop, Heifer mm-hmm. Pasture. Good ones.
That's the same thing with the Kennedy. You know, we killed one monster. David Todd killed the guy that had the hunting and fishing shows. Remember David and Robbie Miller?
Uh-huh.
Well,
yeah.
He hunted with me on the Kennedy, and he shot a monster. I think it was like a 10-inch drop, and he won the Louis Grandi contest of the drop time. And that was so funny because that deer, we saw him, and he just took off, And I go, man. And I kind of went the way he was going, and I parked, and all of a sudden he comes out on a field, and David made a great shot, about 200-yard shot on that deer. And it was a great typical 12 with a big drop, but that big drop was just beautiful. Man, what a deer. Golly.
What a deer.
Yeah.
All right.
Man.
Well, let me take a quick break, Cliff. I'll come right back at you, my friend.
All right, buddy.
All right.
Thanks, man.
All right. We're
going
to take a quick break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 618. All right, Cliff, we're back already.
All right, buddy. Well, you know, I was telling you on that last group I had with J.P. Austin, I had a guy named Mike that's a surfer, was an ex-surfer from Galveston, and I really got to enjoy talking to him about the surfing.
Galveston,
you know,
Ripple
amazing.
Riders.
He was a Ripple Rider over there. It was so cool. And I got to talk to him, and we've been to Mexico and some place together, so that was a neat trip. But, man, so I'm at home, I guess, Wednesday, and I get a phone call from Casey, this guy that used to fish with me, and he fished with Tobin Strickland, the guy from Drought Support, and then Clayton Thomas. They all come together, good fishermen come together, and he had a couple of young boys. He told me he was going to bring them down one day, and so I get this phone call Wednesday. He said, hey, man, I'm down here fishing, and my two boys want to come by and meet you. They got a book. They want you to sign the trophy trout for the future. So they came over anyway, saw all the fish mounts. I got to meet them, and Man, I started talking to you. Talk about some fishermen. It's just amazing. You know, Wyatt, I think, is 12 and Waylon is 8. And they got their own waders, own custom rods, bait casters. And they're wading with their dad with topwaters and corkies and catching fish. I mean, I sent you those pictures. It's just stupid how young they are. And they talked the talk and walked the walk. I was so impressed with these young men, you know. So I got to hang out with those guys, and they've been sending me pictures. They've been down here fishing. But it's so good to see that young talent, Mickey, coming up. First thing I did is I sent Jimmy Burns, the guy from Waterloo, the picture of those two boys. I said, here's your future. There's some rods right there for you, buddy, because they're going to be buying them.
Yeah, they will.
They're really into the good rods. They're really into the good rods. But it was so neat to fish with the young ones like that, so young, you know, out there and popping away at 8 years old. And, you know, that's nuts. It's so good to see. I mean, they don't throw bait. They're 8 and 12 and they throw lures. I mean, I'm impressed. You know, it's nuts.
I know. That's how I grew up fishing, you know, wading with my dad and all his old timers, you know, all his buddies. Throwing bingos and plugging shorties and Florida shiners. And boy, mirror lures came out. We thought, man, this is a secret weapon here. He's fishing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah, it just gets in your blood young, you know, and if you're patient enough and work through things, you mm-hmm. learn. You just.
Yeah, well, you know, Casey's a farmer, rice farmer, and he's that boy, Wyatt, I think he's 12. He's showing me pictures of this giant combine and stuff he drives in the tractor all by himself. Right. That's him on the tractor by himself. You know, he's out there. I imagine they're probably all computerized, so he's probably better at it than anybody else, those young guys. But he's running the tractor for dad. It's pretty much, you know, loading and stuff and got him working. I was pretty impressed. So dad's rewarding by taking him fishing. So I think that's pretty neat, man. That's just don't see that. It's just, they're not on the Xbox or the phone. They're on the crank of a reel. that amazes me, because we've lost so much of that young talent to the electronics. You know that, man.
Right.
It's sad. But anyway, so I was going to, we have zero ducks down here, Mickey. I was telling you, we have no ducks.
That is so strange. This time of year, it ought to blacken the sky when you run down the intercoastal in the
yes.
morning. Yes. You know?
And then my boys, and my boys in Mansfield, everybody's fishing Mansfield, by the way. all my friends that are down there telling
who's
me there's ducks.
Who's not in Mansfield?
Who's not
we
in
aren't.
Mansfield.
We're not there.
Hey, it's so good the ducks went there. But anyway, the ducks are down in Mansfield right now. They're not here, so I just don't get it. There's a few down there, but we just do not have the big rafts of ducks like we normally have. And that's going to change things in the spring, because they're not going to pull up all the seagrass in certain areas, so it's going to be a little different. We'll see what happens. They change the bottom. These ducks here, these big rafts of ducks change our bottom. You know, they dive down and pull the grass up to eat the seed off the bottom and make new potholes, and it's just amazing how they shift the grass beds around.
Right. But,
just not seeing them. Is Bink hunting today? You going live with Bink today?
I'm supposed to. I'm waiting on a text back from him. I think I just
I wonder how his.
Let's see here.
Yeah, that last one was so good. Yeah, it was a great hunt, that last one you did live.
They were
so
limited
fast.
Out before I let him go. Oh,
that was nuts. That was great.
That's,
you know, being able to hear that shot. You know, but I hadn't talked to Mike Herring. He's got to be hunting somewhere. I haven't talked to him in a few days. I know he's just pretty much hunts every day of duck season.
Yeah, so. I talked to him a while back. Not for a short time either. You know, when you get on the phone with Mike, it's it's a good conversation.
Oh, I know. He's
got a lot of stories, man.
Oh, my God. It's just crazy, all the hunt stories. Man, that's something. But I was, you know, thinking about Blaine down there. He's got to be 100 degrees in where he's at deer hunting. I mean, it's 88 in Arley. He's got to be close to 90 to 100 degrees down there in the valley. That's hard.
The other day he texts me, goes, 92. I just dropped a guy off in the blind, and it's 92 degrees. Goodness.
You sit in the blind with the door open, you know, until right at dark. But I just been, you know, just it's so hard to set the blind when it's hot. So I get in there late. A lot of times you spook your deer out when you get late. The right now when there's hot weather, that morning hunt's really good. We get in the blind real early, like 30 minutes before daylight. And, you know, like yesterday morning, I got in the blind super, super early and crack of daylight. I had to go, where is everything at? And all of a sudden this big 10 walks out. And he was so good, Mickey's coming toward me with his ears back. You know how they look when their ears back? He's about 250 yards. He's coming with the doe, and he's coming right toward the blind down the Sendera. And I look at him, and I go, man, that's a shooter. Look at his neck. He's got a big body. His horns are 20 inches. He's big, big chocolate horn. I pick up the rifle for a second, and I put it back down, and I pick up the binoculars, and he runs toward me. Then he turns sideways. He's just young, no sway back, you know, just, man, he's just not there. Golly, he needs at least two more years. I don't think he'll get it, but he needs it.
Somebody will probably pop him, huh?
I know, but I look at it like this. Okay, I shot deer better. You know, and if I shoot him, I waste a chance of seeing something maybe better. I'm going to blow my shot there. And also that I'm not going to enjoy it near as much as somebody else would enjoy that deer that hadn't shot something like that. That's kind of a waste of the animal. You know, it's kind of a waste of the animal. You know,
something you'd let slide would be a trophy to somebody else. I mean, you know, all deer hunters have their own cull factor.
Yeah, that's like the personal best trout in the boat. I always ask them, you know, what's your personal best, you know, and they tell me. So we kind of shoot for that one above that. Boy, we had a lot of them last year, so we've had a couple of personal bests this year.
Well,
I'm just seeing
a personal best in so long I can't even remember. After I caught that big one at Sabine, it's gonna take a mule.
I know it.
God, what a fish that was!
Oh, man, that's something, man.
Have you talked to Jay Watkins lately? I hadn't talked to him in a while.
No, Austin sent him a text of us fishing and, you know, just video, and he sent back. Yeah, he said, good to talk to you, Claire. Just kind of sent a little video back, but hadn't talked to him much, man. I hope he's having a good Christmas down there. I'm sure he's down in Mansfield hosing those big fish.
Oh, you know he's in Mansfield.
Yeah. So I hope he is down there. I think everybody, you know, and Colt and White, everybody's down there in Mansfield right now. All the guys I normally see at 37 are down south.
Yeah, Wyatt Foster, your neighbor, he's down there too?
Yes. Oh yeah, he goes down there and stays. He does real well down there. He's one of those guys too. Like to fish that skinny water, you know. And it's a talent to fish skinny water. You got to learn how to fish it. You know, it's just some people just wade through it like a herd of buffalo and they never catch nothing. Then
that's stalking water there, man. That's like trying to slip up on a deer in the woods, you know, with leaves on the bottom. You got to really be stealthy.
And then, you know, I know you've seen this too. Like you get two or three guys up shallow. And you could hear two of them, but you can't hear the third one. The third one's catching the fish. And the slosh factor is so big up here. And, you know, that's why I watch these guys that walk slow. Don't slosh. Don't make a lot of noise, you know, and cast the right directions, you know, and work.
You got to glide and creep through that water, man. No stomping
around. So you finally find an area that a target point you think a big trout's at, where there's it's a deep hole next to a grass bed or uneven little trench. You finally found this spot and you position your body right to cast for it and you throw one time at it. No, you sit there and you work that thing over and work it over.
You got to spend some time on something like that.
Yeah. And then JP caught that big trout. He'd worked that pothole several times and then, you know, finally hit it the right spot, because you think about that fish in there swimming around, you know, you may have threw it behind his tail to the side, didn't see it. Then finally you get over there where he sees it and eats it.
Right.
And, so that's kind of what it is in the water, just in the shallow waters, really covering the ground. And I tell you, another bait that's been hot this week is that flamingo flash. The water got
same up here.
Cool enough. Yeah.
That's funny. You know, and I got a customer or a listener that he's fishing way down south below you, Mansfield. He's throwing that flamingo flash in a rat tail, and he is smoking some good fish on
it,
man.
That's what's happening here. Flamingo and both the boys, both the boys were catching them on it. I was very impressed. These guys can throw plastic. I just can't believe it. God, White and Whalen both just throwing plastics and just hammering the fish. Golly.
Flamingo flash is better than the Laguna shrimp.
I don't know about that. I love my Laguna shrimp, but I haven't given
good,
it a year
but
yet.
I mean, I just it's like good. The I like I the pinkness of the
color
flash.
I do too.
Than the Laguna.
Mm-hmm. He sent me some. Robin sent me some in a PV, the little bitty PV.
Yeah, right.
And I'm gonna. That's really good. Going to be good in clear water when I can downsize that bait a little bit. And that's a game changer.
You caught any trout on that new Duke dog?
Nope, I have not. I haven't been throwing top water because there's been so much grass.
Well,
you know, I got the Duke dog, but I'm
top
sure
water's good. I've caught a couple on mine, but No, it's
it looks good. It looks really good. And yeah, Mike was catching them in the surf last year. But I'm waiting for that topwater, not corky bite. I hadn't got really cold for my corky bite to sit there and just hammer them on corkies. It's kind of been a quick little cool down. You get a morning of corky bites and you're back up the tails again. The fish are spread out. And that's what they're doing now, Mickey. They're just spread out again. They don't stay in the mud. They don't stay in the trenches. They move out and spread out. And then when you got just millions and millions of shrimp everywhere, you're dealing with a lot of full fish all the time because our shrimp have not left the bay. There's so many nachos right now.
Same up here.
A lot of little shrimp. Yeah, they're not eating a steak right now. They're just running around eating nachos, I tell everybody. It's just the way it is.
Snacking.
And when all the snacks leave and all they got to do is bite a big steak, that's when I'm ready. When all the stuff's gone, they're looking for one big bite. That's when you catch those big ones. And, man, we got some big ones this year. Oh, my God, Mickey.
Yeah.
We lost one, I think it was Tuesday, in the rocks. JP lost it. The back on that fish was unbelievable. It came to the top, and he dropped his rod tip, everything just perfect, and it just pulled out. But you could just see it laying on top, and it kind of just sinks down like a submarine, that big old toad.
Oh,
he just wilted. I mean, thank God he caught a 6-pounder that day, got the taste out of his mouth. But, you know, when you lose a big fish, you go home and you don't catch one, it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But if you catch another big one, it kind of relieves that feeling a little bit.
It does. It takes a little pressure off it.
A little pressure off it.
Man, when you lose just an absolute just behemoth, it'll stick with you. I've had two fish on that like that in my lifetime. One out of the boat on Dow's Reef, and I know that fish was in the 33, 34-inch class, and another one waiting in the back of Trinity Bay on a topwater. And just he was hooking the top of the head. He missed it, and I hooked him anyway. And I was real tender with him. Took my drag off so I wouldn't rip those hooks out. And he was just so massive. He worked the hooks out. Mm-hmm. He just ripped them out.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Keep you up at night right there when you lose a couple of fish like that. You don't sleep too good.
I didn't sleep, but I lose big fish. You don't sleep. You get in a bad mood all the time. But, you know, and I think about how many big fish I've lost on topwater simply because they rake that plug off in the water. So hopefully when you catch a big fish, it's on a, like Doug Bird says, I asked Doug Bird, said, if you got a 15-pound trout on, he said, I want it on a soft plastic with a 2-aught hook in the corner of the mouth. You know, that's my best chances. And, you know, and that's what's so great about corkies. If they eat a corky and they get all the hooks in the mouth and don't have that front hook out, you're better chance. But they're hooked on the back hook and the corner of the jaw, and they start doing that dipping down the bottom, raking it, looking for rock.
They shake that head, and the weight of that lure works as a leverage to pull that hook out, just like a spoon does. Same thing
exactly.
With a spoon.
Yeah, how many fish you lost with a spoon? They come up and shake that head, and that spoon comes out.
A bunch. That's why I quit throwing spoons years ago for big trout.
Oh, man.
Heartbreakers, man.
I know it, my buddy.
All right, Cliff. Well, look, man, I hope you and your family and all your grandkids, y'all have a really great time and a Merry Christmas and a pleasant New Year. That's coming up, and I'll talk to you next year.
All right, Mickey, have a good night. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and God bless everybody out there. And remember the meaning of Christmas. It's all about Jesus.
That's it.
I hope you have a good hunt down there, and I hope you send me a picture of a big old buck. And tell Blaine everybody I said hi, man.
I hope Jesus sends me a 8-pointer, about a 160.
Hey, you might
be my wingman.
All right, buddy. Oh, you got a good
one
there,
brother.
All right, thank you, Mickey. Thanks for having me on, man. I'm in there.
Take care.
All right, thank you. All right, bye.
Later. All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb. I didn't even get his number. Oh, well, if you know Cliff Webb, well, you got his number. Well, anyway, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no way better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display. If you need more info on them, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're at the store, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp. There's no farm-raised at Boyd's. It's all wild-caught American shrimp. And if you're looking for the big 9-12s, or the 16-18s, they always have them. Great price, great selection. In their Cajun Grill next door, Oh, man, they put out some really good food at great prices, and their Santa Fe location also. Check them both out. 409-945-4001 or boydsonestop.com. When you go by and see the good folks at Boyd's, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Good morning and welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:38 here in the Bayou City. Let's go check in with Captain Bink Grimes live from the Bland this morning, see what's going on in duck country. Bink, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I hear the teal whistle.
Widget. Yeah, we got widget. A few buzzing.
Good. That'll work.
Yeah, there ain't much wind, man. Golly. But it's
Yeah, it is calm this morning. They were calling for a little bit of wind today, but we hadn't got it yet.
They called for it yesterday. We thought we were going to hunt that north wind yesterday. Man, it never blew till about 11 o'clock.
Man, never blew. A lot.
Mm-hmm. We were kind of banking on that.
I know.
Hoping things would shake out. But they didn't fly too hot yesterday. They haven't flown real well for us all week.
Right.
Been kind of scratching and clawing, you know. So we're hoping a little Saturday traffic will get things going. We got a lot of, as I was leaving town yesterday, there was a lot of little duck boats pulling in Matagorda. So
was there?
All those on the bay, there ought to be some traffic, you know. There just hadn't been a whole lot of bird movement in the middle of the week. Out front, out front. They just poured in here right now. They can't see the decoys yet.
Yeah,
but yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot of right here behind us. Yeah, they're just pouring in here. We'll see what time. We're legal now. Okay, we're good. We're good now. Boys, we're legal. What over there, probably on your side of town, probably 3 or 4 minutes earlier, I think, isn't it, Mickey? Than where we are.
Yeah, I think it's about 3 minutes difference.
Mm-hmm, probably so.
7:09 is shooting time. We're actually sunrise over here, so shooting time is would be 6:39. Yeah.
Yeah, our shooting time is 6:41.
So. Yeah, you're a couple of minutes difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Farther west you go, the later it is.
Yes, sir. Sure is.
Just from Galveston to where you're at, that's 2 minutes.
That's called longitude and latitude for all you
yeah,
people out
lat longs.
There. Right,
yeah.
we got about all that rain that y'all saw sitting on top of us on uh-huh. Wednesday, man. We got 1 inch of rain is what we got. It rained all day and rained 1 inch.
Right.
Exactly 1 inch. We were hoping for a little bit more. We're glad to take that, but man, we were
all I got was
more.
Drizzle, you know, just real light sprinkles mm-hmm. and drizzle all morning long till about noon. I think I got me a couple of tenths of an inch out of it, which I'm fine with that because we got all that good rain before.
Uh-huh.
I heard a gun go off.
In the That's distance. Loud, boy. Yeah.
You can tell it's calm by the way that sounded, you know.
You hear it all just reverberate. It's kind of
right.
I'm kind of glad it's like that today to get a lot of things moving because there's just a lot of things that just had to move, you know. Everything that's sitting is going to have to move today. We're going to need it. We're definitely going to need it.
Listener wants to know, says, I know Bink shoots a 12-gauge. What kind of gun does he shoot and what size steel shot does he use?
I shoot a Browning A5 humpback.
Yes, sir. Old humpback, baby.
And I used to shoot the older ones, but they don't hold up in this marsh like I want to. So I shoot the new ones that they started making again probably 19 years ago, and they do really, really well. I try to find them in a 24-inch barrel. I like a 26 at the least, but you can get a turkey gun that's a 24-inch. They're hard to find.
Yeah,
but I've got two or three of them. I really love shooting the 24-inch barrel. I shoot open cylinder choke. I mean, I do. It really, really patterns well with steel shot. You'd think it would just spray it, and you put it on a map, and it, you know, we don't sky bust anyway. But 35 to 40 yards is usually what we take. You know, on days that go farther out there, shoot, it crushes them. Shoot a 3-inch. Four and these Brownings, I mean, Winchester, you know, I shoot expert loads.
Winchester experts, they cycle good.
I mean, they do. And, you know, they got a bad rap for a while. Oh, they're cheap shit. They're not. They are the cheapest of the
that's
Winchester.
That's a good round. I shoot. That's what I shoot.
And it's not. It's
and
not
they're affordable.
Money. It is, but it's really not. It, you know, if they didn't produce, I wouldn't buy them, but they are affordable and
I got affordable. A cutting buddy that he shoots those $4 shells or whatever they are.
Watch these teal coming right behind us, guys. Big old bunch of green wings just rolled through here. They didn't do it. But yeah, and so I shoot the fours. I really like the fours. And you can get right. those. You can get those experts in a 1400 foot per second load. That's about ounce and a quarter, or you can find them in 1550 a little faster with a lighter load of ounce and an eighth. I don't know if it matters. We get them with both of them. You know, speed really kills, and they try to get the velocity up. You know, with steel
right.
shot. To penetrate it, make it penetrate. So that's what we shoot. You know, we try to shoot people in ducks. So sometimes you don't. It's not a wind blows, but I mean, every day fours are just perfect for what we do out here. So
there's no better feeling than have, you know, about 20 widgeon or gadwalls locked up, flaps down, baby coming in over the decoys, and just that's so mm-hmm. beautiful.
It is.
Raining ducks, baby.
We rained them last weekend and all the way.
Y'all did. Y'all smoked them. I was so disappointed when I couldn't get you on Sunday.
Coming right at us right here. Kill us right there. Kill, 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 kill. Oh, we just knocked three down.
There you go.
Good shot.
Good start.
Good start. Good start. Good start.
That'll make the dog happy, too. Got a something to do.
Those were bluebills, actually. Those weren't even teal. Man, I hunted and whack. Yeah. My Lord, I had never seen so many bluebills in my life. Even in the days when we were hunting on Trinity Bay and all that, when bluebills used to get out there. I can't tell you how many bluebills we decoyed. We didn't even shoot them because we just couldn't, because you can only shoot one.
Yeah, I think it's just one now, right?
And
be all you wanted.
I cannot tell you how many. I'll quit counting at 20. We were counting how many groups, and they were all 20 or 25 birds, and just doing it. And we were just, I'm talking at 18 yards, and we were hoping, we were actually looking for bands. We didn't, we'd shot one of them in a band, and then we were hoping a canvas back or a ring net was in there, with them. And never saw one. Never seen that many. Anyway, I know we used to kill them all the time. Never seen that many. That's not a bad spot. Stuff's starting to move around. Ducks behind us. Right behind us, boys. Y'all get ready. He's floated over. We're going to kill him. He's float. Y'all lead him about 6 foot. Cut him now. Cut him now. They picked the
big bull sprig out of there, Mickey. Here,
did they?
Get in here. Yeah, they picked the bull sprig here. He was flying with a bunch of teal.
Yes, good sprig. Don't quite
that
have
a lot yet. Especially teal season, you got a spoony in there with a teal. That spoony's history because somebody's going to shoot the biggest duck every time.
Somebody's going to shoot the big one.
That's it.
That's right. Okay. Hey, you're moving a little bit this morning. That's good.
And that's not good in teal season when somebody shoots a spoony.
I know it. There were some hybrid spoonies killed up on the prairie this week from a friend of mine that had to. Everybody right here, got me. Green wings, just see them. They come passing through. There was some spoonies shot that were hybrid blue wings, and
right.
They had the half blue head, and they had the crest on them like a blue wing drake, and they had that old boot lip on the front, and then had was a little bit bigger body duck, but it was kind of cool. Right here. Yeah. Watch your step. Everybody, the spoonies and the blue wings are cousins or somewhere in the family. But if you look at them, if you look at them, their speculum, their chevron is about the same. That white and that blue and that green, and then it's pintails right here, boys.
There's some bull sprigs in there, man. You already got one.
And if you really look at a blue wing, they've got, if you compare them to a green wing, their bill has got just a little bit of a scoop to it, just a little bit. And if you ever fortunate enough to shoot a cinnamon, they've really got a more protruded scoop on theirs at the very end of it. The people ain't never seen that before. We shot a really nice cinnamon the other day. Right behind us, boys. Right behind us.
We're on the left. Coming back.
Oh, she's a big bunch. Big bunch. I better cut you.
we ain't taking prisoners today, Mickey.
They're lining them up, huh?
Well, there's not. I mean, you know, you have no wind, so we're getting a little bit more aggressive because you don't know if you can pick them in there.
Right.
They're moving through here, and we're taking a little farther shot than we normally would, but we're hitting them.
Well, it's calm, too. You can get a better
get
shot.
Here. Another bull sprig. Here, get in here.
Dang, that's another two pigtails. He was with Teal, too?
No, he was with two hens.
Oh, okay.
Two hens, and they broke off. I'll take that.
He was a heck of a man. He had two women with him.
Yeah.
Stud duck, man.
Taking them to the Christmas party.
That's right.
You know which one to get. I'll take both of them.
Taking them shopping.
We did a little fishing. This Thursday. Yeah, this Thursday after we hunted, and did pretty good. I was going out just about as Charlie was coming. Not here, boys. Just about as Charlie was coming in.
Right, you were going out.
Yeah. He'd already called all his. We went out there, and they made a day of it. I mean, we duck hunted, went out and fished for about 2 hours, caught our fish, and then they went deer hunting. Wanted to be in a deer blind by 3:30. So I think that was more of a, I mean, that was something.
That's working it all in one day right there, bud.
Isn't it? It is. Sure is. I didn't have enough. I needed a little. This time of year, we wore out. It's hard to even fish, you know, in the afternoon.
I know.
You know, right here. But it's, you know, just this time of year after you're all gung-ho right here. You're all gung-ho during November, and then you hit the wall, you know. Watch these two right here. Shut up. We didn't hit nothing that time.
Nada?
Oh, there we did. Yeah, we did. We had a heart shot.
Heart attack. Had one. He run out of oil. He leaked all his oil out. Finally fell out of the sky. Boy, I remember when Steel Shot first came out, and it wasn't as perfected like it is now, and all the crippled ducks flying off. That was just crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Plus, we had to learn how to shoot it.
Well, they had to learn how to shoot it, and the ballistics and the ballistics guys had to learn how to make it too. They didn't know
right.
How to, you know, how to kill, how to make steel shot kill. You know, they figured out its velocity. You know, and so they started making different loads Yeah, those early years.
Yeah.
With a lot of crippling going on.
There were a lot of cussing going on in duck blind. A lot of cussing.
Yeah.
Man, after shooting lead shot all your life, you can hunt doves and anything else with lead shot in the same field that you have to shoot steel for waterfowl. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Doesn't make any sense. Nope.
Oh, well.
Doesn't.
Mm-hmm. All right, Bink, man. Well, I'll wish you a Merry Christmas, you and all your family and everything, and I'll be talking to you next year. If somebody wants to call you, give them a number where they can reach you.
979-241-1705, MatagorSunriseLodge.com. Kill it, duck. Oh, we got it. Merry Christmas to everybody. Thanks to all the listeners, man. Great listeners out there. We appreciate everything the radio station does for us, and I'll bring you some oysters. I'm coming to Barbers Hill on Monday. I'll bring you some oysters, and you can have a little Matagorda Bay oysters.
Got it, man. That is nectar from the gods right there, buddy. Matagorda oysters. All right, Bink. Hey, it's always a pleasure, man. You have a good holiday. I'll see you then.
You too.
All right, brother.
Okay, see you later.
All right. Well, that's it. That's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back tomorrow, bright and early, right here at Sports Radio 610. KILT Houston.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.